You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, Sydney housing prices are our first story today. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, so Sydney's housing has been rated less affordable than that of big cities like New York or London for middle-income earners. Sydney ranked number two out of all 400 cities ranked across nine different countries, being beaten out by just Hong Kong. The rating ranked middle-income housing affordability over their mean, which was calculated by dividing the average house price by the average household income. Anything with a score over five is deemed severely unaffordable. So Sydney wasn't looking too flash with its 12.2 rating. Apparently, in order to be a reasonably affordable house, the rating should be three. But Sydney is four times that, which is really setting off the alarm bells in New South Wales state government. So it's not just Sydney, though. Two other areas in New South Wales also made it into the top 10 of that list, which is, again, another warning sign for the New South Wales state government. This sets up a nice challenge, though, for incoming Premier Gladys Berejiklian after New South Wales Premier Mike Bird decided that he had had enough and stood down, making her the seventh leader in 12 years for New South Wales. Ms. Berejiklian said this week that she wanted to make sure that that every average hardworking Australian in the state can aspire to own their own home, which really isn't the case at the moment. It's a huge challenge for a lot of people in Sydney and New South Wales in general.
I know that it's really expensive. What are some of these housing prices like?
Comparing across Australia, you can get a $600,000 house in Sydney. It would be two bedrooms and it'll be a half an hour car ride from the city. You can get the same two-bedroom house in, say, Adelaide for $600,000, about 10 minutes from the city or less. And there's in Hobart or in Tasmania, in a major city, you can get a $600,000 house actually in the city limits. So Sydney housing prices. It really, for anyone looking to start a family in Sydney or just buy a house where they can have some room, it's really unaffordable. And even low-income earners, according to Anglicare, a welfare agency, with low-income earners in Sydney, they're spending 60% of their income on rent alone. And so they're being shut out of the housing market as well because they can't really afford to save up for a house if they're spending all their money on the rent just to live in the place they have now and all other expenses that they need as well. The Deputy Prime Minister of Australia, Barnaby Joyce, suggested that instead of people wanting to just have a house where they can see Sydney monuments like the Harbour Bridge, they should just move out west and move into the countryside just to live with affordable housing out there instead.
Great solution, really, for everyone that needs to work in the city.
Afford any good ideas, just tell people to get it. Still trying to live in a major city.
Yeah, very, very similar kind of rhetoric here around Auckland's housing crisis too.
I noticed they were in the top 10 as well.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that at all. The next story that we have today is about the immigration deal with the US could be at risk.
Yeah, well, thanks to Donald Trump finally being inaugurated on Friday last week, or Saturday for us, it's really brought into question a lot of the deals Australia had relied on America for, the one being our very controversial deal with America to offload our potential refugees on them rather than letting them settle on our shores. Australia is probably well known in New Zealand for questionable immigration policies. The government since 2013 have been hardlined on stopping the boats from other countries with refugees and asylum seekers from actually making it to onshore Australia. So instead, we keep them in offshore detention centres on Manus Island in Nauru. And so Australia, instead of once processing them, they're letting them settle in Australia. We made a deal with America to move them over there. But with Donald Trump expecting to sign an executive order this week, which will impose a multi-month ban on allowing refugees into the US, as well as an additional measure blocking visas for people from places like Syria and Iraq. It's really unsure about how this will go into the future. Immigration Minister, though, Peter Dutton, says that the deal will remain unaffected unless Donald Trump decides to cancel the agreement. So at the moment, they're just hoping that he doesn't realise that we've got this deal, and he doesn't say, no, we don't want any of these people. So at the moment, it looks like it may still go through if we don't rock the boat. Donald Trump has said his message to Australia on Australia Day was that Australia and America are really good friends, so who knows, it might keep going.
That's kind of terrifying, to be good friends with Trump's America. The last story that we have is about cybersecurity.
Yeah, so Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull this week declared cybersecurity is the new frontier of warfare and espionage while announcing new measures to protect Australian democracy from foreign influence. So he's going to be holding security briefings with intelligence officials in Canberra sometime next month following concerns that they may be vulnerable to foreign cyber attacks. So this is all really reaction to the reports that the US agencies had been hacked in a Russian scheme to influence the US presidential election. So according to Malcolm Turnbull, this activity is of great concern, and so the government will take measures to protect Australia from such attacks on our cybersecurity. So this is reportedly no evidence to suggest that Australia's upcoming state elections for Queensland and Western Australia are actually at risk of being influenced by Russian hackers, and I guess you can never really be too safe. But the opposition have accused the Prime Minister of just using the fact that they will be receiving briefings from intelligence agencies as a political bolster. So normally, apparently, these kind of things are kept on the down low. And so Malcolm Turnbull was just trying to boost his dwindling poll numbers, which are, well, I mean, if you have a look at his poll numbers, they are really disappointing from his perspective. So it's an easy conclusion to make that he is trying to get some popularity points by trying to look tough on protecting Australia in some way or another.
It was also Australia Day yesterday.
Yeah, it's probably the most controversial Australia Day we've had. It seems to get more and more aggravated each year as the Indigenous people and a lot of people who support the Indigenous population of Australia would prefer having the date of Australia Day change from the 26th of January, which is fair enough because historically it's a very tragic day for the Indigenous people in terms of the white settlers doing their thing. And even in Australia's history, even in recent times with the Indigenous populations, very unappealing, and there's a lot of backlash against changing the date from politicians and white Australians who just don't see it as a thing worth doing. And there was massive protests across the country in support of changing the date, and it was actually really impressive to see because I didn't expect to see huge turnout like that. It's just this year seems to be so much more support for changing the date of Australia Day. I really don't see a problem changing the date. It's such an arbitrary thing, and the date doesn't matter at all. Even Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull yesterday said that the date doesn't matter. He was trying to say that in support of keeping the 26th Australia Day, but he's pretty much just said, if it doesn't matter, why the hell can't we change it? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, it can be literally any other day. Except for that day, because it was such a tragic day on the 26th of January all those years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure we can find some sort of cricketing achievement we've had to name Australia Day.
Yeah, and I think I saw a video going around by these, I think it was this Indigenous activist who suggested changing it to May 8th, because May 8th, like saying mate, is very Australian.
That in itself has been a controversial debate as well, though, because May 8th, in the middle of winter, it's not too appealing for people to have their
barbecues and stuff. Mm. True. So some other summer day than January 26th would be ideal. Yeah. All right.
January 27th isn't a big issue.
Yeah.
Just do it then. It's not that hard to put it off a day.
Yeah.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.